Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Monaco and London are showcasing many of the world's top athletes at IAAF Diamond League meets this weekend. In London, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a world champion from South Africa. Here's Andy.
It's been a fantastic last 12 months for the world long jump champion Luvo Manyonga of South Africa. And Luvo, have you had a chance to take stock? I mean, you won the world title in London last year, and then also you've won the world indoor title. You're among the best now. Have you had a chance to reflect on your success?
Yeah, every day I woke up in the morning, I just ask myself how far I've become, you know, and it's quite an amazing recall, you know, being jumping very good and being healthy and also being winning titles, and it's a great thing for myself also. And looking into your future, I just want to maintain that and just do great things for my country and for myself and for my family too.
How important is it that you use the training base at the University of Pretoria? Do you get a lot of stability from that environment?
At the moment, I changed the base. I'm based in Eastern Cape at a city called Port Elizabeth, and I'm finding quite calm and collective, and also the support that I'm getting there is quite amazing, and everything is great going so well, and also the family that I'm staying with, they're taking good care of myself.
You're 27, and so born in the year of 1991, and the point's been made that 1991 World Championships, Mike Powell against Carl Lewis in the long jump, Powell broke the long jump record. It's still at that 8.95 meters. Do you think the time is now for you or one of your rivals to break that world record?
Yeah, this is the time. Like, been waiting for someone to battle with to get that that world record, and I think this is the sign that there's a new kid on the block, and also is doing a good distances, and also when I needed someone to battle with to go over that 9 meter barrier.
Well, now you've got, among others, the Cuban Juan Miguel Echevarria. Is he a great incentive? He's jumping well, you are too, for this kind of rivalry?
Yes, definitely. I can exactly relate on the Mike Powell and Carl Lewis, but now it's like Luvo Manyonga and Juan. We're going for distances and we're not playing, you know. We compete to each other like in the highest level, you know. So I think this is the time that the world record must go down.
Do you look at the video of that world record at the World Championships in 1981, Powell against Lewis? I mean, do you look at it as like somebody would look at a drama and study what both men are doing?
Yeah, I pass by most of the time, but I don't want to put my mind stuck on that, because they're using a different technique and also I have a different technique, because I don't want to change anything what I'm doing and focus on what they do. I just take the feeling and how was the crowd was, and also how they were battling to each other, you know, that anger, that hunger, what they was going on there. That's the thing I select on that thing.
Well, we wish you every success in going for that world record and indeed taking the world long jump beyond 9 meters. Luvo Manyonga, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with South Africa's world long jump champion Luvo Manyonga in London. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Also in London, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a two-time Olympic sprint champion from Jamaica. Once again, here's Andy.
Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce of Jamaica is one of the world's great women sprinters, double Olympic champion, and she's back in one of the venues of her great success, the London Olympic Stadium. But I'd like to talk about sprinting in general, Shelly-Ann. And I've just heard you use the phrase in terms of technique and approaching the 100 metres. You said, I think, you concentrate on the first 30 metres and the rest you leave to your coach. So for non-sprint experts, just tell us a bit more about what that means.
Yeah, well, my first 30 metres is kind of my strength as a sprinter. You know, it's how I exit the block. It's my, you know, just how I exit and how I maintain that you know, that long stride and pushing forward and hitting the track as hard as I can, that actually propels me to run the next 70 meters, you know, as well as I can. And for me, I try not to give up on my strength. You know, I try to work at it and perfect it. And I just always, I'm very mindful when it comes to my starting practice and, you know, just my stride length and, you know, my angle coming out of the blocks. I'm just so mindful of all of those, because that's the difference between, you know, running 10 sevens and running 11 flat.
Is that something you've always been aware of? We all know about the great tradition in Jamaica of, you know, the high school competitions and youngsters coming through. Were you always as meticulous in that observance?
No, honestly, I wasn't. But when I was in high school, I was always a good starter, but I just started, you know. I was just like, okay, I'm just starting. And I would always get ahead of everybody else and then never finish well. And then when I met Steve Francis, who's my coach, you know, he just maximized on, you know, making my start a lot better at focusing on how I exit the block, my head, my angle, my body angle, how my torso in line with the track, and, you know, getting my knees forward and my arms swinging, big drive. So for me, I wasn't. It's all when I actually left high school, I started to focus on, you know, just the mechanics of sprinting and how I exit the block and how crucial it is, you know, that you don't give up your advantage.
It's fascinating to hear that because, well, I think it's fair to say around the world these days, many more people run, but they're doing longer distances, that 10K and marathon, and all that's great for health. How you describe it, in a sense, you're like a dancer, a balletic thing that, if you get a minor point wrong, as you say, it's a fraction or half a second. It's huge.
It's definitely huge if you're not paying attention to what exactly you need to do to sprint properly and to get out the blocks as quick as you want to. So I do pay a lot of attention to my starting practice and my drills, especially my plyometrics, because that's where I get my power. So I focus mostly on those things when I'm in practice. I mean, the long runs are good. You can be super, somebody can be super fast but not technical. And if you're not technical, then you find that you give away your advantage. And I don't want to give away my advantage because I'm not 6 feet, you know, I'm 5'2" or 5'1".
Clearly, every elite international sprinter has got strong muscles, but it's noticeable, you know, seeing you and others, the men and the sprinters as well, when you're in repose, it's not like you're bodybuilders or anything like that. You know, the muscles are quite soft, and frankly, you know, fully dressed, nobody would see you, or we were talking to Christian Coleman as well. Notice them that much walking down the street. It's a different kind of strength.
It is different, you know. As my coach would say, I'm not lifting weights to be a bodybuilder. I'm lifting to have power. And, you know, with power comes speed. And the more power you have, the more speed you'll eventually have if you can translate that power into your speed. So for me, I don't eat the weights in the gym at all. I just go and I lift. And, you know, we don't really lift to be bulky either. You know, it's about just lifting to get strength to be able to complete the season, because, you know, the season is very long and you just have to have that solid background work in to be able to have some good races.
Well, long may that power and all that attention to detail flourish for you. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, double Olympic champion, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
And thanks again to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Jamaican sprinter Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce in London. Shelly-Ann is competing this weekend in the British capital, where she won her second 100-meter Olympic gold medal in 2012. And like American tennis star Serena Williams, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce competes while juggling the demands of being a mother. Shelly-Ann and her husband, Jason, have an 11-month-old boy, Zion. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. This week, a look back at the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Les Bleus, Croatia, and other highlights and surprises, as well as the politics, with Sunny Young, host of VOA's Sunny Side of Sports, and João Santarita of VOA's Portuguese to Africa service, the World Cup in Review, that's Press Conference USA, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm looking forward to being on Press Conference USA's World Cup show. Lots of sporty World Cup talk on Press Conference USA with Carol Castiel. I am really excited about that show. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. American boxing star Floyd Mayweather is being sued by a Nigerian media company. For more details, let's turn once again to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sonny, a company based in Nigeria suing Floyd Mayweather. The company is called Zini Media. Booked Mayweather to make 5 appearances in Nigeria and Ghana in June 2017 for the sum of $375,000. They wired $210,000 advance fee, money Mayweather bailed a few days before the first appearance, and came back demanded more. Guess what? Money didn't show up. Zini is suing money Mayweather for $2 million right here at the federal court in Los Angeles.
Do you think they'll win that lawsuit?
You're going to take a man who is what? Between $700 million and $1 billion. And you know, he's going to show up in court with the best in the game. I'm sorry for those guys coming from Lagos, Nigeria, because they're going to show up with some local attorney that will be no match for Mayweather attorneys. I think they will have to settle out of court.
Canelo Triple G rematch scheduled for September 15th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Nnamdi, how's that one developing?
Fight is set. It took a little while to make this fight happen. And both guys, they hate each other because of what happened with Canelo testing for steroids and all that, and making Triple G lose that big money for last summer. Now, both guys are promising knockouts. Canelo wants to push for the knockout. Triple G wants to push for the knockout, which means the second fight, which brought in 1.3 million pay-per-view buys and $27 million live gates, will be a knockout fight. You remember the first fight, Canelo was on the one retreating and Triple G was attacking. But if Canelo decides to just stand and fight like a true Mexican warrior and Triple G then back him up, ooh, that may be fight of the year, Sonny. So we may be looking at close to 2 million buy and close to 35 to 40 million live gate.
Nnamdi, Triple G was stripped of his IBF middleweight title. How does that affect the rematch?
Sonny, you know, we've always talked about these belts. You can go to Costco and pick up these belts, you know. We know who the real middleweights are, not some guys who is the number one contender and any other person fighting for a belt that we know belongs to Triple G. No, it's not going to affect nothing, you know. The fighters make the belts, not the belts make the fighter.
Nnamdi, any African fighters making headlines?
Rafael Benza from Ghana with a record of 31-0-29 knockouts. He will take on Alberto Machado from Puerto Rico for the WBA Super Featherweight title. And that's going to be July 21, Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas. It's a tough fight for homeboy from Ghana. He has never fought anybody here in America. He's taking on a Puerto Rican warrior in Las Vegas. Well, here goes Don King again, brings the guys from Africa and then put them in and they lose and he ships them back to Africa and that says a lot. Yep.
Nnamdi, one of the greatest fighters ever out of Africa, Azuma Nelson. I understand he's being honored.
Yes, Azuma Nelson promotion. He will have a big fight at the Bukom Arena set for Saturday night. 6 pro bouts with amateur fights to open it. This is in celebration of Professor's 60-year anniversary. Bukom Boxing Arena is a place to be Saturday night, be there to give respect to the professor, and then see great fights. I think in Africa now, Ghana is a place, and the arena is the number one, and hopefully they will stream it on Facebook, and we all will enjoy it anywhere we are in the globe. VOA!
Nnamdi, I remember you telling our VOA boxing fans about the Jose Suleiman tournament featuring some African fighters. Are any Africans still in contention for titles in that tournament?
Sonny, the Jose Suleiman boxing tournament moved on to Toronto, Canada, August 25th. two Africans would fight for this semifinal round. Chris Van Herden from South Africa would take on Frederick General Okunka Lawson. Okunka Lawson is based in Bronx, New York City. Chris Van Herden is out of Los Angeles, but is South African. The winner of this fight will take Brad Solomon against Francisco Santana. And the winner of the final will be in a position to challenge for the welterweight title come 2019. So how will these two Africans do? In their last performance, they looked so-so. They have to up their game, and somebody has to come out on top to take on the winner of Solomon and Santana.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More than 100 Nigerian football fans were stranded in Russia after the World Cup when they discovered their travel agents booked only one-way flights for them. The fans have since returned to Nigeria. For reaction, reporter Iron Mike Imbonye reached the chairman of the Sports Writers Association of Nigeria, Lagos chapter, Debo Oshundun.
Well, I think basically what happened was that because of a huge volume of traffic to Russia, some of them were able to just get a one-way ticket to Russia. The reason was that the traveling agents were unable to secure return ticket for them because of the volume of people that were coming out of Russia after the first round. You know, it's the World Cup have 32 teams. After the first round, you have 16 left. So the whole of that 16 have to leave within 48 hours. So there was a high volume of traffic outside Russia after the first round. So what the traveling agents did was that they got them ticket to go. Then with the understanding with some airlines, people that went, they have seat availability of, depending on the availability of seat, they will be getting ticket for them to return. But unfortunately, some of those traveling agents know that they want to scam those innocent Nigerians, so eventually they couldn't get them a return ticket. So they got stranded due to that situation. 50 were lucky to accost the Lagos State governor on his way to Russia when he was to watch the finals of the World Cup. So they saw him at the airport. Some of them are sleeping at the airport, some at train station, some at Nigerian embassy in Moscow. So when they saw him, they recognized him to be a governor from Nigeria, and they approached him. He told him their ordeal, and immediately the man gave an instruction that they should purchase a return ticket for them, for the 50 of them that met him at the airport. And they were able to secure a return ticket for them. The first batch left on Saturday before the final on Sunday, which are 15 in number. Then the last batch left on Sunday, the final of the World Cup. The remaining 35 left on that Sunday. But as I speak with you now, all the 50 that the Lagos State governor promised to help in returning to Nigeria are in the country now.
What is the fate of the remaining 50? Are they still in Russia or are they back?
Yes, due to the gesture of the Lagos State government, which everybody really applaud, that the federal government is now taking a cue from that. The president instructed the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Nigerian ambassador in Russia to facilitate the return of the remaining Nigerians stranded in Russia. Because what the Lagos State government did was highly commendable, because it's all about the image of Nigeria. Most of them are not from Lagos State, but because they are Nigerians and being a Nigerian, the governor feel that every Nigerian, wherever they are, their interest should be taken care of by any public officer.
You covered the World Cup in Russia. Can you tell us the behavior of Nigerian fans throughout their stay in Russia?
Their behavior is quite highly commendable. I know that I stay in a hotel that we have Brazilians, Argentines, fans and media people. We stay together. We have very cordial relationship, and I know that most of Nigerians, except those ones that have problems of returning, they are well behaved, and none of Nigerians that did anything that rubbed the image of the country in the mud. They are well behaved, they are soccer fans, they are responsible citizens. It's just unfortunate that they had to go through those ordeals. Their behavior is highly commendable.
That's Debo Oshundun, the chairman of the Sports Writers Association of Nigeria, Lagos chapter, And Debo was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. And here are some belated birthday greetings for Iron Mike, who celebrated his birthday on Thursday. Iron Mike tells me he likes smooth jazz, so we hope Iron Mike had a smooth and jazzy birthday. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to motorsports, Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton has signed a lucrative new contract with Mercedes. Joining us now to talk about that is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World champion Lewis Hamilton signed a new contract and will race for Mercedes in Formula One until the end of 2020. The 33-year-old Briton, who has been a part of the German manufacturer racing family for 20 years, will earn at least $40 million amid reports that Ferrari had attempted to poach him from Mercedes. Hamilton's teammate Valtteri Bottas also signed a one-year contract extension after some strong performances in the first half of this year.
Prince, I'm sure that big deal cements Hamilton's status as Britain's biggest sports earner. Do you think he deserves such a deal?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If you look at the stats, he's taken part in 218 races. He has won 4 world titles. He won his first title with McLaren back in 2008 and 3 more titles with Mercedes. He has 65 wins in different races. He's won a staggering 44 races for Mercedes and also a contender to win this year's championship. That's so inspirational, and he surely deserves it.
Definitely sounds like it, Prince.
Well, talking about this year's championship, we'll be expecting more Formula One crashes, joy and drama this Sunday as the race returns to Hockenheim, Germany. Sebastian Vettel will be aiming to win on home soil and will also be hoping to follow in the footsteps of his countryman Michael Schumacher, who was well loved by the Hockenheim faithfuls, winning a record 4 times in front of his home crowd in 1995. 2002, 2004, and 2006. Vettel came in third in the second practice of the German Grand Prix behind Lewis Hamilton and the surprise pace setter Red Bull's Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
Prince, who are the top 3 drivers so far in 2018?
Well, Sonny, ahead of this weekend's German Grand Prix, which marks the halfway point of the season, Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel actually tops the standing with 171 points, 8 points above Hamilton, who has 163 points, while another Ferrari driver, Kimi Raikkonen, comes in a distant third with 116 points.
Prince, if we can switch gears, so to speak, to football, any updates on soccer transfers?
Oh, yeah, there's actually a world record fee that has been paid. Liverpool have signed Brazilian international goalkeeper Alisson Becker from Roma in an $84 million transfer deal. This deal, Sonny, makes the Brazilian the most expensive goalkeeper in history. His fee actually eclipses that of the $62 million that Juventus paid Parma in 2001 to get the services of Gianluigi Buffon, and the $46 million deal Ederson cost Manchester City all the way from Benfica.
Thanks, Prince. That's reporter Prince Nesta talking with us here in Studio 22 at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. And that wraps up the July 20th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
No. next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Fostering economic development in sub-Saharan Africa is a top priority of the United States, and the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, is the centerpiece of U.S. trade policy on the continent. The Trump administration places great importance on our relationship with Africa and sees genuine promise in the prospects for enhanced trade relationships with our partners, said Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan. Speaking at the 17th annual AGOA Forum in Washington, D.C. in mid-July, Deputy Secretary Sullivan noted that the U.S. partnership with African countries is based on a number of strategic priorities. We work together to strengthen regional security, reinforce democratic governance, and increase trade and investment, he said.
We do all of these things because we understand that security and democratic institutions provide a stable foundation for economic growth and prosperity. At the same time, increased trade and investment are key to creating jobs and generating resources that strengthen security and democracy. When partners increase their capacity to confront real security challenges that we all face, we demonstrate how alliance building through economic cooperation promotes security.
Africa is the major market of the future, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. Some of the world's fastest-growing economies call Africa home. We expect that over the next three decades, half of the world's population growth will occur in Africa. And that means a projected 1.2 billion new consumers will enter the African market, said Mr. Sullivan.
These trends, combined with Africa's growing youth population, will allow African countries to capitalize on a growing labor force. This great opportunity will come with challenges, however, including the need to provide jobs for this growing population. Expansion of trade and investment will be critical to meeting this challenge.
The United States applauds efforts such as the signing last March of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement framework because it advances another key component, regional integration. The United States stands ready to partner with African countries that are committed to reducing barriers to trade and investment, said Deputy Secretary Sullivan. In doing so, we hope to encourage policy reforms that increase openness and competitiveness within Africa and promote greater prosperity and higher living standards across the continent.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, I bring you an exquisite listening experience. I have new music from artists like Le Berger and Kirani Ayat. Classic hits from Yondo Sister and Hugh Masekela. Feature interviews and news with friends from Kenya.
Hello, everybody. Ni Juliane. And I'm in the Music Time in Africa with Heather Maxwell on The Voice of America.
All this and more on Music Time in Africa. Join me. Tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 Universal Time. Catch you then.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face, Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is VOA.